Welcome to Witch Yes, a podcast for casual conjurings, witches in training.
And everyone else, you count your fucking days, baby, because I'm coming for you.
I'm Alicia, and I'm holding the knife.
And I'm Alicia, and I'm holding the candlestick.
I'm not Alicia.
And I'm Tara.
We do a whole clue situation.
When you play Clue, did you play Clue?
Yeah.
First question.
Yes. Good question.
Who did you play? Who was your...
Miss Scarlet, right? The red?
Oh, of course. Of course.
I was a sensual little minx in my day.
Did you know that instructions to play Clue, it says that Miss Scarlet always goes first?
No.
Yeah, that's why I picked her.
Oh, well, you're just a cheater pumpkin eater.
No, excuse me. I think it's actually that I'm very thoughtful about the interworkings and structures of reality that I would set myself up for success.
Okay, so what you're saying is no bitch, it's strategy.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that. As a schemer myself, I love it. As a con woman, I enjoy it.
As a politician, I'll allow it.
Vote for me. Oh, you like that one. On today's episode, Druid Core 2024.
Pants on the floor.
The hats. The robes. The beard. Nature? Ooh.
Wow. B.O.
Gross.
Libertarian values. Wow. Vote for me.
No, vote for me.
No, vote for me.
You can't take my people. I've thought about it, though. I'm like, I should become a local politician.
I would love for you to be on a school board.
Ooh, me too. That's a lot of power. I was thinking, like, what's the, like, a comptroller? I think they just add things and subtract things. Mm-hmm. But I have a phone. I can
Did you know
that
famous Bobby Condon joke? That you can vote for a local coroner and that local coroner votes do run along party lines.
What? You can vote for a coroner?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like county coroner. And I'm not going to tell the Bobby Condon joke because it's fucking hilarious and I'm going to do it wrong. However, it is like it is literally like there's the Republican county coroner and the Democratic county coroner and then the independent. Isn't that nuts?
I will independently... coronate everyone.
Yeah, he's like, listen, the guy shot in the face. However, shouldn't have had to pay taxes. It's my county coroner seal of approval.
Conservative, liberal. I don't care. He's dead. That's a vote for me. County coroner. Or one less vote for me.
Vote for her.
Huh. I'm losing people. Ah!
Okay, just speaking of voting.
Yeah.
I want to say the New York DMV in some ways protected me, in some ways did me a disservice. Can I speak on it?
I would love to hear. The floor is yours.
Okay, so last episode, we did talk about how the baby witches do have to register to vote. Make sure you're going to vote.gov.
Love it.
To register to vote. Okay, so I went to the DMV. Mm-hmm. To the Brooklyn DMV at the Atlantic Center.
Okay. Terrifying.
And I get, not only am I, as soon as I entered the door, assaulted with a large sign that says, it is a federal crime to assault a DMV employee, which means it has happened before.
Oh, absolutely.
That I, thank God, I get the only nice woman, Taylor, working at the DMV, who is so nice to me. I think I have all the right paperwork. I do not.
You never do. That's the thing with the DMV. You never have the right paperwork.
It's so sneaky. They're like, okay, but have you submitted your blood?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, with all of the in triplicate.
And it's like, okay, but have we licked your blood? Did you receive confirmation? Yeah. And you're like, no.
No.
Not at all.
They're like, are you a virgin? I'm like, I mean, it's embarrassing, but.
You're like, well, I am married.
I am married, but only butt stuff. Mm-hmm. So Taylor, she's walking me through all this stuff. She compliments my sweatshirt. I'm like, I love a woman who matches my energy.
Okay, that's good.
However, she was like, oh, you want to register to vote with your new address? I'm so sorry. My machine, because they have a separate machine at their desk for registering to vote, because I guess the president is really concerned about fraud these days.
Okay.
She was like, my machine's not working. If you want to register to vote, you'll have to go to the next person. And I look over to the next person. And when I say that is the meanest woman I've ever seen in my life, her eyebrows are so thin and her audacity is inflated to the point of suffocating me, a small woman.
It's very scary.
I felt like maybe I wouldn't make it to the polls. If I went to the next woman. So I just want to say that, baby witches, if you are not registered to vote, you are not alone. I am going to go on the website this evening after I'm done with this call to register once again to vote. But it's not too late. Get on it. Mm-hmm. Even if like the primaries have already happened in your state, that's okay, because there's a pretty big election coming up. And I would encourage you to get on it. Have your voice be heard.
Were you trying to do the real ID? Is that what happened?
No, I already have a real ID. I just have to get my name changed.
Oh, okay. So fancy. They wouldn't let me get a real ID when I went. And I was like, well, just give me a license. What? We're not doing this again. I guess I gave them the wrong paperwork, but you submitted it online and no one told me it was the wrong paperwork. So I show up at the DMV with the paperwork that's apparently the wrong paperwork. Great. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They're like, this is the wrong bud. This is butt blood. We want eye blood.
You should have told me. I could have gotten that for you. I can't do anything now. It was crazy. And also, I could do something then. And they were like, actually, no, it had to have been uploaded. So in person, I couldn't even do anything. It was kind of fucked.
That's such a fucking lie. Because you know what? I didn't have an application. And Taylor printed one out for me and had me handwrite everything out.
Well, the Santa Monica DMV is not the same. But I do have to say, my picture, ooh. I looked so good.
Oh, I bet you do. I bet you do.
I looked phenomenal. I was like, damn, with the good light.
That forehead?
Oof. Santa Monica, DMV. That's where they hook it up.
Yeah. They're like, can I get a couple of these for these headshots?
The guy was even like, I'm going to take your picture a second time because like I know how you look and I know you'll look better in the second one. And I was like, okay. Smize. And I look so cute and devious. I love it. Hair to the gods.
Well, how are you, baby? I'm so sorry. Besides the injustice of not having a real ID, but also the justice of having a gorgeous photo. Mm-hmm. How are you? Everything good? Are you?
I'm doing great. I have to say, I think that Aquarius season we just had was too much.
It was a lot.
So I'm excited to be in Pisces, and I have hopes that it will be better. We will find out. It will be determined. But I have high hopes. I like the Pisces energy of we're dreamers and we're not stuck in reality. So
yeah,
that's some good energy.
Yeah. Well, you know, in 2 weeks, you know what's in 2 weeks? The solstice.
The solstice. The equinox. Oh, no, no, no. Not.
You're right.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank God. Spring.
Yes.
I know. It's crazy. It's coming close.
Speaking of equinoxes, we're at an equinox, an apex. We are an apex predator.
We are an apex predator.
In terms of our Patreon.
Ooh.
We want to give a big witchy welcome to our latest Patreon witch, Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
With two E's. Hello, ma'am.
Ashley with the E's.
We hope you enjoy the hours and hours of extra content that we made special for you. If you want to join Ashley and the other Patreon witches in their quest to keep us from quitting the podcast, you can find the link in this episode that you are listening to right now. For $5 a month, you get access to over 100 extra episodes and have your listener questions answered live on the air in every full-length episode.
Oh, I love that. That's so much power. We're like your little puppets. So truly, if you're a Patreon witch, you're the politician.
You're the apex predator.
I am just prey. Yeah, last week we did part two of the Clown Motel episodes, so...
Ooh.
That was my big Valentine's extravaganza. Was terrifying the listeners. And then next week, it's everything you need to know about this year's spring equinox. Thank goodness.
Finally.
It's like spring is coming and baby witches on the Patreon are going to know how to best celebrate, what you need to do to get ready, and like what intentions. What should we even be doing that fucking day?
What should we wear? Who should we call?
Ooh, I love that. What should we eat? What are we eating for dinner?
I mean, flowers.
Flowers.
Seeds.
Oh,
nuts.
Like little squirrels. We're all just little squirrels and chipmunks.
And before we get into our episode, spring, again, it's just 2 weeks away, baby witches. If you're looking for some new drip,
ooh,
you should check out our merch store on TeePublic. Get yourself a pagan as fuck or Satan's Little Snack t-shirt. And again, give me, your favorite witch, a third of $7. I need it.
That $2.50 goes a long way. I don't think that adds up. I don't know. How do you divide things by three? This is the problem we've been having the whole time.
It's disgusting. Okay, mama.
Yes.
Today we're talking about druids.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that in the real reality, the consensus reality, we've done research. However, if we could go back to like our fake, you know, podcast reality. At the top of the show, I just want to ask you, how do you feel about druids? What do you know about druids coming into this?
Nature. I know nature.
Okay.
I would say beards.
Excellent.
And with that train of thought, nature and beards, you're probably naked, honestly. Right? Like, I'm thinking Gerald yeah. Gardner specifically. I'm just thinking of one bearded dude in nature.
That's Gerald Gardner was cosplaying as a druid.
Absolutely.
And if he had had more time on this earth, oh, the length that his beard would have been.
Oh, yeah. He'd wipe his butt with it. I knew you would like that. I knew that would tickle her fancy. But I mean, I don't really know too much about druids per se. Like, we know about witches, pagans, Wiccans. What the fuck is a druid? What did you think they were?
Yeah.
Who are they? Are they all men? I don't really understand.
That was one of the things I felt. I sort of had this like image in my head, which was like druid, long beard, magic.
Mm-hmm.
Male, old male, trees, nature. And then also like secrets, darkness, secrets.
Oh, okay. I like that. Spooky.
So when we talk about the history of the druids, there's some grace we have to give ourselves and other scholars because babies, Iron Age tree wizards, they have a lot going for them, but they really missed the boat on literacy.
They don't know how to read.
I don't know how to read. They're not reading Catcher in the Rye. They're fighting off pigs, probably. I don't know what they're doing. And I wouldn't know what they're doing if they were literate. While the Olmecs of Mesoamerica, the Shang Dynasty of China, the scholars of ancient Mesopotamia, and the 4D chess players who invented hieroglyphics in Egypt were all writing their shit down, I'm not sure what the druids were up to. And the only reason we know they exist is because of a game of telephone we've been playing with the Greeks since about the 6th century BCE before Common Era.
Yeah, the Greeks had a thing. They would write some things, but not everything. And you're like, is this true? Is this not true? This has happened in our research before.
100%. I'm like, if we often talk about like, oh, if we took like the people that did Enochian magic, or we took like the founding fathers and brought them into the contemporary times, what would they be up to? Ancient Greeks?
Screaming.
Straight to fanfiction.com.
Oh, absolutely, dude. They want to see, like, the fucking version where Harry Potter dated Draco Malfoy. Mm-hmm, that's what they mm-hmm. want to see. Because when I was a 12-year-old, that's also what I wanted to see.
And as we know, the most senior politicians in Greece, 12-year-olds, because people really didn't live that long.
That's true.
Before we get into what we know, I want to acknowledge that there are some scholars that contest whether the Druids existed at all. And there's a way to look at how ancient people wrote about the Druids as evidence that they were a fantasy or a political tactic by Greek and Roman elites. But I personally feel like that line of thinking stops us from asking questions. And kind of ends this podcast right here. Like, what if we were like, well, it was all cosplay. So, and now.
I just honestly can't even imagine it being that. Because
me neither.
The like communities, like you had your communities, but then like disparate groups of people who just lived in the fucking woods doing God knows what. Like someone would have to be like a druid, even if they don't call themselves a druid.
Exactly, exactly. And we're going to get into that. Like how do we name druids? How do we name the people that are hold these positions?
Yeah.
So Alicia and I, we're going to run on the assumption that druids did exist. And there is a lot of evidence that they did.
Good.
So
thank God.
Well, here's what we think we know. Ancient druids were an Iron Age priestly caste that existed in the area of Europe known as Gaul. So Gaul is the name the Romans gave to the area of like France, Belgium, Luxembourg, parts of Switzerland, the Netherlands, Germany, and Britain.
Oh, that's a big chunk.
It's huge. They're basically like everything out there. And there's also evidence that they lived in parts of Ireland. Now, not everyone from Gaul was a druid. And as the Roman Republic conquered more and more land, the druids were pushed further and further away from the Mediterranean Sea.
Because it's too pretty. You can't be here. You can't sit with us.
No, this diet, you couldn't handle it.
Also, I love that it's Roman, Romes, we have the Greeks, and then we have Gaul, everything else.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, they're the freak show. We don't talk to them.
The ancient druids engaged in animal sacrifice as a way to communicate with and influence the natural world, which is very common in Europe at the time. But many accounts also include human sacrifice, the details of which can be pretty gruesome.
Ooh, tell us.
Oh, we're going to get it.
Oh, yay!
There were male and female practitioners, though the image of the druid is predominantly like old man, long white beard, wild eyes, erect penis.
Naked.
Naked. Cone of power. Druids also acted as community elders, overseeing judgments and disputes, gathering information from various forms of divination, and sometimes performing medical procedures. There are several quotes we're going to go through from Greek philosophers. One is that the druids held a vast wealth of knowledge about cosmological insight and herbal medicine.
I like it.
The druids may have believed in reincarnation. Here's a quote from the first century poet Lucan. Remember him. He's going to come up later. You who dwell in dark and remote forest groves, you say that the dead did not seek the silent realm of Erebus or the pale kingdom of Pluto, but rather the same souls live again in another world. And death, if your songs are true, is but the middle of a long life.
Oh my God.
Doesn't that just make you melt?
It freaks me out even more, honestly, that existential dread. You mean when I die, I'm not done?
No, you gotta come back and you gotta pay taxes again.
It's crazy.
Which I also kind of feel like if the human sacrifice thing is real, maybe it's kind of like, oh, don't worry. You're gonna come back and you're gonna be a bug and it'll be fine.
As long as you don't get squished.
The only written account of druidic reverence of trees is that of the great oak tree. And double points if there's mistletoe growing on it. However, there is a collective memory of folk religion that may or may not have something to say about that. So just like kind of put a pit in that later. And again, the druids themselves, they wrote nothing down, which is just the worst. It's like fucking Helena Blavatsky and like every fucking Helen Duncan. I'm like, keep a journal.
She's literally ripping her hair out right now.
Which some scholars will claim aided to their secrecy. And also made sure that druidic students really fucking knew their shit, which like fair, like I'm a goldfish now that there's smartphones. Like I don't know Alicia's phone number.
I don't know your phone number. I think I did at one point.
I mean, I know the area code.
I know the area code, but that's like cheating. It's the same area code as mine.
So here's how we know what we think we know. And spoiler, the sources range from mid to not that great. There are only about 3 or 4 contemporary accounts of the druids. And after that, only about 20 total scholars who would write about them in the ancient world. You know that feeling you had when you realized that people didn't actually start writing the Bible until almost half a century after Jesus' death? And some of these fools never even met the guy because they were writing 100 years later?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of these accounts come from about 200 to 300 years after, quote, the Druids, by people who had never met them. It's very speculative, kind of like this podcast.
No, we are a fact-based podcast.
We fucking Google Scholar that shit.
Our opinions are facts.
My feelings, they're facts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The first account of these people come from Hecateus, a 6th century BCE, before Common Era, Greek writer in his manuscript, The Journey Around the Earth.
Beautiful.
Now, granted, quote, the earth to Hecateus was the Mediterranean Sea and her suburbs. So it's like Egypt, Persia, we got that boot, mm-hmm. and the lesbians of Lesbos. That's it.
Not Gaul. Fuck Gaul.
Not Gaul. We don't know her. Who?
Love that.
And the account is so sterile, it has no information about their religious or ritual practices. It was no better than a travel documentary shouting out a Waffle House on their way down the Appalachian Trail. They mention these people known as the Keltoids that reside on the westernmost edges of Europe. And for context, similar to flat earthers today, some philosophers and mapmakers considered the edges of Europe to be icy, uninhabitable places cut off at the far reaches with a giant glacial wall.
Ooh.
Isn't that nuts? In the 4th century, again, BCE, the scholar Sopater recounted that the Celts had a custom of sacrificing their prisoners of war to the gods through ritual burning.
So we're going to believe a guy whose name is Sopater.
Baby, you don't got to believe anything.
No, this is a factual podcast. I have to believe something. I have to walk away from each episode believing in something, or else why am I here?
Okay, then yes. And I'm sorry about it. Okay, but that same century, the scholar Timaeus, how do you feel about that name?
At least it's like Timmy.
Yeah.
I can relate to that one.
So that same scholar, Timmy, claimed that the Celts lived on the shores of the ocean and worshipped the twin gods, Discarai, who came to them from the sea. But wait, baby witches, none of these accounts say the word druid?
What does it mean?
How perceptive of you. You are so smart.
We knew it. We knew we were smart.
So the first time the word druid is written down comes from a 2nd century BC Greek author, Socin of Alexandria, who claims that the druids are the priestly and philosopher class of the Celts. So boom, fact one, done. We did it.
Woo!
So he says, as to the gymnosophists and the druids, we are told that they utter their philosophy in riddles, bidding men to reverence the gods, to abstain from wrongdoing, and to practice courage.
Okay, all of these sound very positive.
Exactly, exactly. Except for the sacrifice.
Can't wait for that.
As the Roman Republic crept across southern Europe, they built roads that allowed for easier travel and shipment of goods, ideas, and armies, which aided one of the many nightmare men of history, Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar mentioned the Druids by name and made several claims about them. The first few are like pretty innocuous. Druids were exempt from war because they needed to consult Celtic leaders in battle. And much like the horrors of the Vietnam War, this made getting your education in Druidism very attractive to the average male. And this education took a while, about 20 years. Julius Caesar would claim that the Druidic customs were imported from Britain, though there's not really any evidence of this, and it's not stated from any other philosophers. So I don't know who we've heard it from.
Who?
Sources unclaimed.
Julius is the ruler.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have to go to war for me. You should just be a druid. What?
No. Okay. So the druids, he's not hiring druids. He's saying that as he's moving across Europe, conquering the Celts, he learns about their customs. And the Celts are like, no, we need these old men.
Okay. They're important to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
I see.
They're special. They're nomads. Julius also claimed the Druids subscribed to the Roman pantheon. Allegedly, their favorite god was Mercury because they saw him as the inventor of all arts, the god who directs men upon their journeys, and their most powerful helper in trading and getting money. Oh. Their second favorite is Mars because they are bloodthirsty. And then Julius drops a bomb on the Roman people. And he says, this is what he says. He says, sure, the druids, they have these long beards and their vast cosmological knowledge of the stars. But don't you trust these Gauls for 1 second, because when I tell you the levels of human sacrifice happening in those wooded groves, you're gonna freaking puke, dude.
Whoa. More than Roman Empire Colosseum battles?
Oh, 100%. So here are the descriptions of the human sacrifices. So
let's do it.
Human sacrifices would be made by people who were afflicted with illness or those who were about to go into battle as a way of asking the gods to protect or heal them. Quote, they believe the only way of saving a man's life is to appease the god's wrath by rendering another life in its place. And they have regular state sacrifices of the same kind. Some tribes have colossal images made of wickerwork, the limbs of which they fill with living men. They are then set on fire and the victims burn to death. It's literally the Wicker Man.
Oh, with Nick Cage.
Yes.
Amazing.
So let's continue. They think that the gods prefer the execution of men taken in the act of theft or guilty of some offense. But when they run short of criminals, they do not hesitate to make up the innocent men. The Gauls claim all to be descended from the god of the underworld. And for this reason, they measure periods of time, not by days, but by nights. And they go on the principle that the day begins at night. Uh-huh. And if this doesn't just smell of the classic trap of dualism, I don't know what does. Because it's literally like, the Jews don't have a holy Sabbath on Sunday, so they must hold an unholy Sabbat. If the witches don't eat the blood and body of Christ, they must eat the blood and body of unbaptized children. If the Druids don't blah, 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 they must think themselves children of the underworld and measure time in the form of nights.
Crazy. It's all connected.
And there's so many drawings of like these wicker men. It's like kind of insane.
Ooh. So, I mean, that has to be real. Why would they make a Nate Cage movie off of it if it's not real?
I don't know. What's the one about the dream scenario?
Oh, well, yeah. Who knows why they made that one?
Yeah. I hope he came in his pants. I hope that was real.
Yeah.
There are a few corroborated stories of specific deities the ancient Celts and their druids would have revered, though it's more likely they would have been really dedicated to specific local gods. Examples of the universal gods are the horned god. We know him. Mm-hmm. The god of thunder. We know him.
Ooh, okay.
And the god of horses, Epona. Smaller gods are things like the goddess of Sequana, the goddess Solus, and the god Nodens. Now, whether they were really building giant flaming automatons filled with dead bodies, after Julius Caesar, the Roman Emperor Augustus felt the need to outlaw druidic practices in the first century. And by the end of that century, the general political message was, we wiped these barbarians off the earth. You don't need to worry. Nobody's out there in the woods looking for you. However, when the Romans began moving into Britain, they were met with Gallic resistance armies. And these armies were allegedly joined by what Roman generals described as druids and women clad in black who used incantations to fill the Roman soldiers' heads with fear, disabling them.
Ooh, yes.
So now we're going to talk about lady druids.
The ladies.
Girl druids. There are a couple accounts of magical ladies from this time period. One comes from the philosopher Strabo, who wrote, in the ocean, there is a small island not very far out to sea, situated off the outlet of the Liger River, and the island is inhabited by women of the Sumnite, and they are possessed by Dionysus and make their god propitious, which just means happy.
Oh.
So they make Dionysus happy by appeasing him with mystic invitations, as well as other sacred performances. So they're sending him like e-cards.
Oh. They're like, hi, happy birthday.
No man sets foot on the island, although the women themselves sailing from there have intercourse with them and then return again. So if you've ever read Avalon, which is like the female retelling of the story of King Arthur.
Oh, King Arthur.
The Myths of Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
100% giving big, like, female druidic energy. But a vast majority of tales of druidesses come from Ireland, who maintained its pagan roots longer than most of this region. It would actually take four more centuries for Christianity to really take hold on the island. And even then, there's still like thick pagan energy all over Ireland. Generally, their magic is said to be different from men, though they are not less powerful. They're just as badass. Queens of Ireland would often have druidesses in their court, like Queen Maeve, who kept a druidess named Erin and other prophetesses named Fidelma.
Fidelma.
And Skaha. If you're looking for witchy baby names, who also acted as warrior teachers.
Oh.
Ireland may have been one of the last strongholds of the Druids as Christianity began to take over the Western islands of Europe. And they're some of the only places we have the names of potential Druids that have been passed down through Irish mythology. Like the blind Druid Mag Ruith, who summons storms at will, or could tell the future through a bullseye, or the druid Cathar, who foretold the blunders and victories of kings.
It's a lot of power.
There's something interesting about this Irish mythology, though, is that while we have this idea of the druid, which is like beards, cloaks, magic, the Irish may have attributed the title druid or dre or dri to people who may not be recognizable to us as druids. Because in Irish mythology, people are magical. They're magical.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So Molly down yonder may only have a mustache and read a bird song to predict a storm. And scholars may not be like, she's a druid. The Irish would be like, that's our bitch. Molly, druid mustache, queen of birds. She's who we call. We got bird problems.
I like them. I'll say it here. I like the Irish.
I support them. Doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into some misconceptions about the ancient druids.
Tell us.
Contemporary druids aside, Alicia's going to get into it in a minute, the ancient BCE druids had nothing to do with the building of megaliths like Stonehenge or the Carnac stones. That is not to say that they did not use them afterwards or that these megaliths didn't have astronomical importance. They clearly line up with the summer and winter solstice. So whoever built them were astute astronomers. It's just that Stonehenge predates the druids by at least 4,500 years.
It must have been some dinosaurs or something.
Clearly.
Like, why they have to be man?
I mean, get some of these, like, everybody's talking about single-celled organisms, mm-hmm. you know, origin of life stuff. Why couldn't our mitochondria have gotten up in there? Cut some stone.
What if the stones just arrange themselves? Some animus shit.
Yeah.
They just go boom, 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 boom. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then they go,
Yeah.
That's them getting it on top.
Yes. Yeah. Because they need little hats, little rock hats.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this distinction is actually really important to what we think we know about druidic holy sites, because somewhere around 2000 BC, Gallic and the surrounding religious groups pivoted their interest from big stone megaliths to natural sites like springs, marshes, and sacred forest groves. And the reason we know that is answered by a simple question. What do you leave behind when you visit a holy site? Offerings.
Oh, little treats.
Little trinkets, little sweets. So archaeologists have found offerings like gold, jewelry, iron weaponry at sites like natural springs, bogs, sacred groves, etc. Votives from the druidic period do not appear at sites like Stonehenge.
Interesting.
It's our trash. That says so much about where we've been, our trash.
That's true.
In fact, there's evidence we may have found some of these sacred groves the ancient druids may have worshipped at. Way back in 50 AD or whatever, that poet Lucan, remember that guy who was like, they believe in the darkness and the immortality of the soul,
mm-hmm.
wrote about sacred groves. So this is what he said. Stagnant the air, unmoving, yet the leaves filled with mysterious trembling, dripped the streams from coal-black fountains, effigies of gods, rude, scarcely fashioned from some fallen trunk, held the midspace, and pallid with decay, their rotting shapes struck terror. Thus do men dread most the god unknown.
Okay, Lucan with the words.
I know. He's like, brrrap-pa.
Yeah, some slam poetry shit over here.
And we have found wooden figures in groves of trees that date back to this time period. So look at these from Argyll, Scotland.
Oh my gosh, they're like little people faces on branches.
They're little people.
They're kind of unsettling.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to hang out.
No, I'd worship it mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. sure.
Another misconception is this whole business of human sacrifice. And here's a problem. We don't know.
What do you mean? The Wicker Men.
The Wicker Men. So the Celts did have ceremonial stones that were built to hold human skulls. They were dug out to display human skulls.
Okay.
And archaeologists have found hundreds of human remains buried in and outside of potential sacred sites that were killed via decapitation. However, is that ritualistic human sacrifice, or is that just like the Iron Age equivalent of like fuck around and find out? Like, is this more Is this human sacrifice less Aztec and more French Revolution? Mm. And if the Greeks and Romans were correct and the Druids had these people build giant wooden effigies inside which bodies were stuffed, you think we'd find like evidence of half-built effigies, like a finger, a nose, in these fucking bogs where we can find all this other wood shit, right?
Well, they got burned.
Okay, right. However, is there not like we gotta front some of this building because we're gonna have a big ritual burning in a couple months? Would you not like, I don't know, have remnants of like a backlog?
Well, they didn't know how to write.
Fair, fair. Yeah, I just felt like there would be a finger, a toe.
Yeah.
Of like, oh shit, the Romans are coming. We can't do our big giant flaming guy.
I can see that. I just like that it, you know, it's all ashes. We got it all.
Mm-hmm.
Or the birds got it afterwards.
So that's the historical Druid who existed over 2,000 years ago. I want to know, how are they doing today? How are we feeling?
Oh, you want to know?
Tell me.
So let's bop over to the 1900s. The distant past. The 1900s. Tara, do you remember the 1900s?
My father was alive.
My dude.
I was alive.
You were
1900s,
alive.
I was alive.
Yeah, it's the distant past. At this point, Druidism was sort of like a fraternal order existing mostly in Wales and England by a select few, you know, very secretive, very like my brother's cousin was a Druid, blah, 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 that kind of bullshit. This began to change when George Watson MacGregor Read, a man with four names, began promoting Druidism as a spiritual path that could unite followers of many faiths. He named this group the Universal Bond, and it was inspired by the ideas of the Theosophical Society and the Order of the Golden Dawn, which we have talked about them from the previous century.
Have we done an episode?
I feel like we mention them all the time.
It's like, okay, so we got Aleister Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Enochian Magic. We've got Helena Blavatsky.
Are you saying we have never talked about the Order of the Golden Dawn in depth?
I don't know, but I don't want to.
I don't. It sounds boring.
Okay, but then there's a part of me that feels like, what's the drama? Who's fucking who?
Mm.
Who's fucking who over?
And it's the 1800s, so there's a lot of fucking.
Oh, there's 100%. Like, it's like they're like, and then there's cat blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe we will. We'll circle back on that. The Universal Bond Group held ceremonies at Stonehenge, campaigned for social justice, and promoted the teachings of the Universalist Church, which later became incorporated into the Unitarian Church. Unitarian Universalist Church all started here.
Wow.
Is that crazy? And I've gone to 2 Unitarian events in my life, and I'm kind of like, of course they're Druids. Well, there was some weird like candle thing. They're singing songs, but not like in a Christian way. Of course. I can't believe I never saw it before.
Oh my God, the veil has been lifted and I can see.
And then in the 1940s and 50s, the Universal Bond became called the Ancient Druid Order because, you know, that sounds so much better. And our naked granddaddy, Gerald Gardner, was really into the Ancient Druid Order. And another person who got really into this was a man named Ross Nichols. He sounds like he should be a designer. That's like a brand, right? Look at my Ross Nichols stovetop. Oh, he makes pans, stock pots.
Oh, it's Ross. Yeah.
It's like a Target brand. This is my Ross Nichols.
It's like a Macy's. It's like they have a little kiosk in the Macy's.
Yes.
And it's jeans.
And it's all jeans. And apparently the book to read back then about Druidism was the book called The White Goddess by Robert Graves. This book claimed to have discovered a Druidic tree alphabet and calendar. So both Ross Nichols and Gerald Gardner came to adopt an eightfold cycle of observances, which is now known as the Wheel of the Year. It comes from the Druids.
Shut up. It's all connected.
It's all connected. This is our history, you guys. It is believed that modern Druidism began with 2 acts of rebellion during the 1960s. Like, what a great time to rebel. In 1963... a protest was started in the U.S. at Carleton College. I had never fucking heard of this college before, so I looked into it, and it's a small liberal arts college in Minnesota, which is pretty cool since Minnesotans don't really get a lot of love. So they got something.
Aww.
This protest was against mandatory Sunday morning church attendance. This group called themselves the Reformed Druids of North America. And honestly, it was kind of a bit of a joke at first. Like, yes, the college kids just wanted to take acid and go be in nature with their friends instead of going to church on Sunday. So why not call yourselves the Reformed Druid? But since they made this, it was kind of like they're like hall pass that they needed. They needed to show proof that this was a thing. This is the like the nurse's office. This is your little ticket to get out of here. Your doctor's note. There you go. Thank you.
I don't have to play volleyball today.
Doctor's note.
I'm a druid.
Boom. My mom said no. Boom. So since they needed to create an alternative spiritual practice to support what they stood for, because, you know, adults were like, blah, 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 blah. Meep, beep, beep, boop, 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 boop.
I remember adults from back then. Mm-hmm. They did sound like that.
Mm-hmm. They actually started researching ancient druidism. And guess what? These fucking college kids who love acid and fucking girls and like, you know, everything else, the 1960s protesting, they were fucking into it.
Fuck yeah.
So they're like, okay, we made our joke group called the Reformed Druids of North America. But what if it's actually based off of the ancient teachings of druids? Beautiful. They later became a group called ADF, which stands for an Irish phrase that I cannot properly say, so I won't try. But it also translates to our own magic in English. So we're going to get more on this later. This is an existing group. And then in 1964, so all of that was happening in 1963. 1 year later, hopping across the pond to England, we've got my favorite granddaddy, Gerald Gardner. Well, he dies. So he dies in 1964.
Aww.
But someone else died that year, and that was the chief of the ancient druid order, which was George Fournames' son, Robert. He was the chief at the time.
Robert Fournames.
A new chief was elected, but our guy, designer Ross Nichols, did not like him. His whole aesthetic did not go with his whole aesthetic.
Like, your jeans are too blue.
Exactly. And it really doesn't get into, like, the beef, which I know is why we're all here. We're all here to know what the ancient beef is. So, I don't know. He just didn't fit the catalog. Like, let's be honest. And his name was Robert.
That should have been our podcast name.
What?
Ancient beef.
TMTM. We'll take that. We'll take that to the bank.
Marcel was like, oh, new merch.
Ancient beef.
Ancient beef. Old beef.
So this, Ross Nichols saying, fuck you, to Chief Robert Fournames, was the second act of rebellion that happened for Druidism. Ross Nichols went on to make the Order of the Bards, Ovates, and Druids. Because he's like, fuck your group. I'm going to make my own group. Oh, and you cannot sit with us. So that's what he did. He made his own group out of a serious desire to deepen Druidism as a spiritual practice, and it has now become the largest Druid group in the world.
You know what's interesting about that, though?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get into this in my, like, ancient Druidic order stuff, but there's a lot of contest between what the different layers of, like, Celtoid society were. And there's a lot of people that are, like, Bards at the top, Ovates and Druids, and then there's people that are like, no, it's just Druids and regular people, then it's Druids and warriors. And so it's kind of like you had to choose, like, this guy had to fucking choose which Greek philosopher he liked the most.
Absolutely. And I mean, he said the Order of Bards, so I'm sure he placed Bards first.
Yeah, I mean, the guy plays ukulele for sure.
Oh yeah, like, you have to have some kind of musical hobby back then in the 60s. Come on. Okay, so now let's speed up time a little bit, and we're going to run back over to ADF. I told you we'd come back to them. ADF, which also stands for a Druid Fellowship.
Oh.
Cute. Much easier than the other one, than the Irish phrase. Yes. Came into existence in 1983. ADF practices a unique tradition of neo-pagan druidry and is mostly U.S.-based, with members in most states here, and in several other countries as well. You know, those expats. Since the year 2000, we're in the 2000s now, ADF's membership has remained over 1,000 people. Hell yeah. Making it the largest public group of definitively neo-pagan Druidism in the USA. So not just Wiccas, not just pagans. We are just Druids. We are only Druids. By 2020, modern Druidry has spread to 34 countries. The importance that modern Druids attributed to Celtic language and culture circa 2020 kind of varied depending upon the physical and cultural environments in which the Druid lived. And by 2020, roughly 92% of world Druids were living outside of the British Isles. So they were like, we're not, we got other places to be.
Yeah, I feel like 100% that's like that British, Welsh, Scottish, Irish diaspora.
Yeah.
That like fully had to, like fully escaped.
Yeah, they were like, we can't do this here anymore. We're over it. Mm-hmm. Been doing it for too long. And so our real, the real reason we're all here today is the Druid Core 2024.
Druid Core 2024 from?
Ross Nichols, sponsored by Target.
No, from... I learned how to say his name. Guillaume.
Guillaume.
From Patreon listener Guillaume, TMTMTM. Patreon listener Guillaume, Druid 2024.
I love it.
Druid Core 2020.
So, you know, we're scrolling through our Instagram reels, TikToks. Witchcraft comes up a lot. Witch talk. We've all heard about it. We know what pagans are. Okay, we've heard of Wiccans. Why don't we hear about Druids? Because Druids actively keep their practices private and don't preach about their practice like other religions, including witches. I mean,
hey, listen.
Yo, listen.
It's true.
It's everywhere, my dude.
They're like, Easter is actually, Christmas is actually.
La Befana. All of it. All of it. We have become what we hate.
No.
But Druids haven't.
No, I'm the bully.
The Druids are doing their own thing. Neo-Druids, as Tara mentioned, do not have any sacred religious text and view their religious tradition as one free of rigid dogma and any fixed set of beliefs. So when you're a Druid, you are on your own spiritual journey. You believe in, I don't know, Persephone, Aphrodite, and you want to worship them, great. You want to worship the horned god, great. You want to not worship anything at all except the spirits of the trees, great. Whatever you want. We are open to you. Which is very nice. It's very accepting, very welcoming.
I love that.
But the moment you're like, nah, nah, these tree spirits, that's it. That's all there is here. They're like, we got to give you the boot. Mm-hmm. You are too blocked. Narrow-minded. It's all about your own spiritual journey. They celebrate the Sabbats with an emphasis on the Celtic Sabbats, which are Samhain, Imbolc, Beltane, and Lunasa. Those are the important ones.
Oh.
The other ones, they're like, those are fine.
Oh my God, Beltane's my favorite Sabbat.
That was fun when we burned all of the like manifestations. That was cute.
It's like, I don't know. It's like the first of like the super fire ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's lovely. And Druids these days call their version of church a grove, which is a word Tara said so many times. And many places of worship are located in natural environments inspired by the ancient Druids who worshipped gods in groves of trees. So when there is a congregation, a pack of Druids, that is a grove.
A murder of Druids.
A murder of Druids is called a grove. This is a grove of Druids. I like it. I like it a lot.
This is great.
Thank you. These are all the things you need to know about Druids, you know? Prayer is important to Druids, just as like a concept. But like I mentioned, there are no prescribed prayers or ways of doing prayer. So how you practice prayer is completely up to the individual Druid. So there's, you don't have to do what my grandma heard or made me do at bedtime. Now you lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Ooh, I don't remember the rest. That does sound very witchy.
And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
If I die before I wake?
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah.
It probably is, but why was my grandma doing that to me?
You know why Grandma Herder was doing
it. Yeah, probably because I wasn't baptized. That's probably why she was doing it. She was putting all her prayers on me. I have to survive the night. Neo-Druids love a good stone circle. And we did mention Stonehenge. And a lot of times when Druids come together in a grove, they will stand or sit in a circle. And now it's a thing where Stonehenge on the solstices, the solstice, there will be Druids there. And, you know, they'll do like a little celebration there. And Druids generally welcome anyone. And generally is that you can't be an asshole. You can't just accept everyone because there's going to be a bad apple in the group. But in theory, Druids are very accepting of everyone. And rituals are usually open to all who wish to attend, and anyone is welcome to train as a Druid. So despite not advertising their practice, it is a welcoming community where anyone is allowed to join if they are seriously interested in the practice. If you just go there to make fun of them, like, they're not going to like that. Because who likes that?
Yeah.
No one likes a mean girl. Well, no, everyone likes a mean girl, but sometimes you can't sit with them.
Yes. It's like, nobody likes a mean girl. Everyone wants to be the mean girl.
There we go. Now, I don't know. I don't think that relates to what I'm trying to say at all. I think I chose the wrong metaphor. Honestly, I think that's the problem here. I don't know.
Everyone wants to be mommy's favorite.
But I'm mommy's favorite. Let's be clear. Whatever. You guys get it. We don't need to have a metaphor that works correctly. You guys understand.
Everybody wants to be a baby witch.
Yes.
But not everyone can be a baby.
A bitch?
I'm baby.
Yeah. Something like that. You just, you know, you got to be nice. Just go there, be nice, and actually be interested in Druidry, and, like, you'll be fine, okay?
Yeah, fuck. I mean, like, you know, Druids fuck.
Yeah. I don't know. That didn't come up in my research, but I assume they do. And more than anything, the most important aspect of practicing Druidism is their belief in the truth. Capital T, truth. Almost all Druids believe in maintaining a level of integrity in their everyday lives, as well as the search for truth for oneself. Many Druids today prefer to seek truth for oneself in their studies, by learning from others, doing research on one's own, and, you know, through meditation, ritual practice, and communing with nature. So the big question is, okay, but Druid core, how do I be a Druid, right?
Yeah, I mean, I need to know who, what do I wear?
Yeah.
How do I act? What do I smell like?
You can wear anything.
Really?
But you can get the robes. You can do the Druid thing.
That's what I want.
Did you say you won't?
No, that's what I want.
Oh, that's what you want. Oh, then you can do that. It. That's totally fine. Druids have altars. Druids do all kinds of witch shit. It's the same tools and, like, accessories that your normal witch would have. That's what a Druid would have.
It does feel a little bit like it's, like, witch core, but, like, less meanies.
Yeah.
And more weenies.
Yeah. And you can learn on your own how to be a Druid, or, like I said, you can join ADF by going to their website. And listen, we're not paid by ADF. I don't know who these fuckers are. But they are a 501c3, so you know you're not going to get sucked in some Scientology cult. So that's a good sign. And it looks like once you join their website, they have resources on different practices and training that they also can show you where groves are that might be close to your area. So that's very cool. You can find, like, a community of Druids. And honestly, I'd love for a brave baby witch who's just interested in Druidism to check them out and come back and let us know how it goes. You can be our spy. Doesn't that sound great?
Our mole.
Our mole.
And then just start giving our business cards out to people.
I don't think they would like
that. Here's our Patreon. You too can give Tara Keck a third of $7.
I love it. So what do we think about Druidism now? Now that we've done all our research, we've talked about it, we've vibed it out, did we sacrifice people? I don't know. I kind of hope so. Just to cause some drama.
Dark magics. I love a good dark magic era.
Yeah.
Bangs.
Tattoos.
Yeah.
I like it, right?
I'm super interested. Am I crazy? I'm super interested in this.
I like how welcoming it is. And, like, yeah, it's still a choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm. It also seems very, like, rooted in place. Like, the area that you're in, it's not like, okay, I'm in Milwaukee and I'm worshiping the pagan god Hecate. It's more like I'm in Milwaukee and I have a personal relationship with, like, my garden.
Yeah. And I love that. It can be so individualized. Mm-hmm. And you can find a community if you want. It's very interesting. And it's kind of cool that no one talks about it.
Yes. I like how quiet they are. I like how not loud they are.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Sometimes witches are loud, which how I love when people have a voice. That's great. You know?
But sometimes you don't have to use your voice all the time.
Yeah.
We're in a library. It's quiet time.
It's children's reading hour.
It's like, shh. It's okay. You're here with
relax, us. Relax. You don't have to fight every fight. You can just like, you know, abscond to the British Isles.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm down. I'm down at like poking around on that website, honestly, and seeing.
Same, same. I also feel like I'm really struggling lately with like everything comes from somewhere. And what's really kind of annoying is that like so much of witch lore comes from the colonization of Roman and Greek empires. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm so sorry to inform you if my complexion has not notified you already. There's a little bit of French, but that's pretty south from your girl, Tara. Like, there's a couple little Moroccan Egypts in there, but like, there's nothing in any way olive toned about my background. So it feels really like disingenuous to be like, love Athena, love her.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that's my bitch.
And like,
is she?
That's my bitch.
I don't know.
Because like, you know, everybody comes from somewhere. Sometimes like being an American, we are a little bit like abandoned culturally mm-hmm. because of assimilation that like we don't know our past. And I get very jealous of people that know their pasts in like such an intimate way. However, like it's not impossible that Alicia and I's ancestors would have subscribed to some of these like weird horse gods. And like, what a wild
feeling
that would have been.
I really hope mine didn't. I hope mine was the horse god. That was my ancestor.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Epona?
Epona from Zelda, right?
Yeah.
That's the name of the horse in Zelda. But I would like to think that our ancestors like held hands and were friends.
I think so.
Like they would be like really ugly with really bad eyesight. Because, you know, you just get more beautiful, you know, everything changes. Yeah.
Pocketed.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid.
So dumb. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we couldn't read or write, but I would hope that there would be a kinship there.
I think so.
I think so, too.
You seen these eyebrows?
Yeah.
Twin spirits.
I think so. And with that, we would like to thank our other twin spirits. We would like to thank Marcel Perez, our producer, Mallory Jordan, our creative director, and Kevin McLeod for the music.
I'd really like to thank anyone who's left an Apple Podcast review. Subscribe to our channels on Spotify. Wherever you're getting podcasts these days, head over to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. Please write something. I need you to write me a little letter.
A little letter? Note.
Just like a little something that says, Tara, hey, you're doing okay. Don't worry about it so much. It takes no time. You're on your phone right now. Do it right now.
That's true.
Give us 5 stars. And I appreciate you and I love you and goodbye.
If you want to find me, Alicia, you can on Instagram at Alicia.Herder. If you want to find Tara.
You can find me at Her Lovely Face. Hey. You can find me there. What's up? Also, our Instagram just started its own Patreon. You can get free mini prints. That's a lie. You can get $5 mini prints if you join my Patreon. It's called the Super Secret Postcard Club.
Hell yeah.
Head over to there and join me.
I love it. We, the podcast, are on Instagram at WhatSheAsks. Share an episode in your stories. Tag us. We'll feature you on our stories. Damn, the Instagram. Instagram is life, honestly.
I've sent a lot of memes over there that I have not posted, so just wait.
I know. I see it every time I open it. I'm like...
10 messages.
10 messages of memes that she needs to share. You can also join our family of witches in the Discord server. And if you don't like any of the socials, you can email us at witchyespodcast@gmail.com. And we will look at it eventually.
And if you're looking for a grove of your own.
A grove?
If you're looking for a stone circle to call your own, you can find us on Patreon, just like today's Patreon, which Ashley did. $5 Patreon, which is an above. Get access to 2 extra episodes a month. $10 and above get access to a bunch of other shit. Get to ask questions like our two Patreon witches, Momo and Guillaume, did today. And yeah, check out the links in our show notes and join us.
And of course, make sure that if you're in the United States, that you are registered to vote, baby.
This is important. It's important. Be like me. Maybe we'll get on Discord and we'll all do it together. We're not, because I'm afraid of them. And I guess because I said I'm afraid of them and I was so intimate on air, that means this has been
Witch Yes!
As they say.
See you next time, guys.
Bye.